It's Friday, March 26th. I am Jeff Schwartz, and this is Jeff Schwartz with Smarter Than You. I nailed that one. Woo! Guys, you don't know this because we edited this, obviously, but I can never say the intro. Every single time I screwed up, it's my own show. I don't know why. But thank you guys for being here. Not a lot of football news, so we're going to have some fun today. Quinn Meinerz joins me for the entire episode. Division III offensive lineman from Wisconsin Whitewater. He is a great story, right? Not often do we see kids that are in Division III, Division II, end up getting drafted. He will be a high draft pick. Just listen to his story. Listen to what he has to say, his work ethic, his offseason, how he ended up at Wisconsin Whitewater, his Senior Bowl performance, all of it. It's a great story. He's a guy that you want to root for. He's a guy that we say, hey, we want to root for guys like this that are underdogs, that are undersized, that against all odds make it to the NFL, and that is Quinn Meinerz. Enjoy this. All right, welcome in Quinn Meinerz, Division III, Wisconsin Whitewater, the guy who's making all the rounds and might move up many rounds in the NFL draft. Welcome in, buddy.
Well, hello. Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm excited to be on this episode.
Your story is exactly what people love about football. We're going to talk all about where you started, where you are now, everything in between. But let's talk about now, about a month out from the NFL draft. Starting to get a little jittery?
Yeah, it's definitely, you know, the reality starting to set in of everything that's been happening recently, because it's still, like, hard to really, fathom all this happening, because, you know, just about a year ago, I just got done, you know, losing the national championship. To be at this point now, it's pretty surreal.
So for those who don't know, you are a Division III offensive lineman from Wisconsin Whitewater, and Division III players are not often drafted into the NFL. It's a very long road to get there. And you're in a position now after a good Senior Bowl, and we'll talk about all this in great detail, to be a high draft pick. And so I'm excited to watch you through that process. But let's go back to Wisconsin Whitewater. You know, most Division III players, Division II players end up there because of, you know, kind of just, you know, lack of development, right? You're a smaller kid, you're growing to your body, but that wasn't your case. You were in this body as a high schooler. How'd you end up at Wisconsin Whitewater?
Yeah, I wish, you know, there was a better story, but to be honest, no look of any Division I whatsoever. Like you said, I wasn't a very small kid in high school. I was playing football. I was 6'2", 300 pounds at a right tackle. And I was starting on the offensive line since my sophomore year. So, I had 3 years on the offensive line. I did wrestling all 4 years of high school as well. I'm kind of asking that same question every day here when I, you know, look back of, you know, what happened. To even go back on it, you know, I was on the reserve call for the Senior Bowl, but even in high school, I was a reserve call for our high school all-star game that we had as well. So it's just been, I don't know. I really wish I had more words to describe it, but it's just the way it happened.
What do you feel when, or did your love for the game lessen when you realized you weren't going to a college you thought you'd end up at?
Not really, honestly. Maybe kind of love the game a little bit more, because then, you know, when I was, you know, all right, well, no Division I offers, I was like, all right, well, then I really only have 4 more years to play football. Like, that's it. You know, like, you kind of thought, you know, hopefully you can play at a bigger school, but I was like, all right, well, I'm going to go to Whitewater. I got 4 more years to play football, so I want to become the best football player I can be before, you know, it's all said and done, and you hang up the cleats and you don't play anymore.
So Wisconsin Whitewater, we've talked about it many times now, not a powerhouse school. In a powerhouse school in Division III, by the way. And when we met a couple weeks ago, you mentioned something to me that I was blown away with, that you had to pay money to go to training camp. Explain Division III football the best you can.
Yeah, so Division III football, you know, the first thing that comes to mind is love of the game, man. You got to really love the game to come out and play Division III football. So, yeah, fall camp, I mean, all of our meals are together as a team at the dining halls, but I mean, those aren't for free. So you got to, you know, we're paying, you know, a couple $100 to, you know, be able to come into fall camp. And I mean, even on top of that, you got to have you have to buy your own cleats. You have to buy your own gloves if you want to use gloves. They do have the resources, you know, in the equipment staff, but I mean, you have to buy it from the equipment staff. You get your one pair of short, you know, one pair of get a shirt and a short, and then there you go, that's all you get. And you know, it's honestly, it is what it is. And I mean, another thing that you can kind of talk about Division III football, I mean, we have to do a lot of funding ourselves to keep our program alive. So some of the things that we do loft day. So we put all of the lofts into all of the dorms throughout the campus. And another thing we do is we sell raffle tickets door to door. So, I mean, what I've been doing the last couple of falls is I go door to door with my little sales pitch and try to sell raffle tickets. That way we can, you know, kind of make some money. But yeah, I think that's kind of a typical Division III thing. And, you know, we do the same thing as the D1 guys, where we get up early and lift, and, you know, we have the practices, we have fall camp, and we have, you know, spring ball and everything, but we just got to have a little more love for the game, maybe.
What was your sales pitch?
So it was basically just trying to glorify what the ticket, it was like a raffle ticket that would get you into, you know, various prizes. And I mean, Mackenzie Belunga and I was one of our defensive ends that me and him would go together, and we would kind of do, you know, we got alternate and take turns. I can't remember the sales pitch because it's been a while now, but it was really nerve wracking freshman year going door to door, and nobody, you know, in Whitewater knew who you were yet. So once you got a little bit more of a name, it was easier to sell the tickets because they knew who you were and liked you.
That's fantastic. Well, people knew who you were fairly quickly. You were a 2-time team MVP as an offensive lineman. How do you go about earning an honor like that from that position?
It's crazy to learn to be able to, you know, have that honor, because the MVP, you know, we all were able to cast our own vote on the team. And, you know, I mean, there were a lot of great players, especially in that 2019 team. And to be able to have the respect and it's a lot of people that really thought of me as the most valuable player on the team. It was really a cool moment. And I'll never forget, because our head coach, at the banquet was our team MVP, Quinn Miners. And then he goes, I don't think I've ever heard or seen of an offensive lineman winning an award like this. Usually, I mean, you know, it's your quarterbacks and stuff. So it was cool to win that.
Wow. So did you didn't vote for yourself, did you?
No, I voted for our wide receiver.
Yeah. That's amazing. What is it about your play or your leadership that you think earned you those back-to-back MVPs?
My main style of leadership is really leading by example, and, you know, showing up every single day and trying to be that example that, you know, young guys should look up to. And also I really enjoy, you know, when, as you become an older guy, to really help out the younger guys. Yeah. So I really am trying to always be a resource. You know, I can understand, you know, when you're going through college football, you know, at the time it feels like a lot, and there's a lot of stuff going on, and it's kind of crazy. So to go from a new school, you know, football team and stuff like that, I always like being a resource. And I always tried to become, you know, like somewhat of friends with everybody on the team. And, you know, when you got 100 guys, you know, it's difficult on my end to do that, but I really do enjoy it, because I like hearing everybody else's story. Cause, you know, when you're in a locker room, nobody can really relate to it unless you've been in a locker room. But I mean, the different people that are in there and the camaraderie that you build in that locker room is really special. So
you mentioned something to me, and you were part of the project that we've been kind of teasing about with Fox Sports, kind of the Gruden O-line camp idea, quarterback camp idea for offensive line. You mentioned something though I thought was pretty fascinating. I never heard it before, about, you know, kind of like your offseason prep and why you consider that to be your love of the game.
Yeah, my off season is yeah, I think that's where you find how much you love the game. It's, you know, you're kind of, you know, on your own a little bit. You know, you're more, you know, I guess you're more susceptible to distractions. Like, oh yeah, we got football camp in a couple months, this won't hurt me. And those are the days that I'm going to be consistent with, and that's where I'm going to gain that ground that, you know, hey, maybe I didn't have a great season last year against this specific player, and I'm going to take that and use it as fuel every single day in the off season, because I think that's you know, where players can get distracted and where I can take advantage of the situation. So that's my favorite part, because you got to find your love in the weight room and preparing.
Well, let's talk about how you spent some of your summers, because we elaborate this a little bit on the show, but there's so much more we can talk about on the podcast now. So you spent your summers on a lake in Ontario, Canada, with your great uncle doing chores around his property. Let's go into the chore process. So there's a video of you on Twitter, on your YouTube as well, of you lifting propane tanks, of you lifting lumber, of you doing weights in the woods. How do you come about your workout routine on that lake?
Yeah, extremely. I have to be extremely creative. And I mean, there's tons of heavy objects on there. So, I mean, I'm a huge fan of Strongman. So I kind of take after a lot of those, you know, weight medleys that the Strongman do, where they grab something and then carry it and then drop it off and then kind of do certain things like that. So, yeah, when you see the propane tanks, that was like a perfect opportunity to kind of do some like Strongman type workouts, which was really exciting and really fun. But yeah, those some of those chores were very tiring. Like, you know, when I lift the logs up, I got to carry it over the island, and it's not very flat ground, and you got to make sure you don't slip and fall and hurt yourself.
Let's talk about the day you had to lift 20,000 pounds, you think, of lumber in a day. So explain to me this. So you had to go like from like loading area, like where you bought the lumber, let's say, drive, boat, then to island, to four wheeler, to cabin. Like, how'd the process work where you did 20,000 pounds of lumber in a day?
Yeah. So I knew we were going into town to pick up a nice sized, bunch of lumber, but my great uncle didn't tell me on the ride there how much it was really going to be. So yeah, we got about, 4,000 or 5,000 pounds worth of wood. And then we also got another 1,000 pounds worth of fuel, and then like almost 1,000 pounds of propane. So we have to drive back through the logging roads and then where we park, and then go through our little portage where we have our four wheeler parked. And then we have to load all the stuff from the truck. Well, not we, it was me. It was me. So I had to put all the stuff into the four wheeler, drive it through the woods to the boat, load the boat with stuff, drive the boat to the island, and then unload it from the boat onto the island. And then I had to do that. So, I mean, I'm touching every single board at least 4 or 5 times. So that's a lot of work.
Mentally, how does that prepare you for football, especially offensive line play, having to be creative with the way you prepare for the season?
Yeah, when you have days like that, I mean, it's like when you have those, super hot outside, it's muggy, and you got to just keep grinding through that practice. I mean, you're getting to your fall camp, and you got like 30 plus periods, and you're just like, man, I got one more inside run period, and you got to really just, find a way to get it done. And that was the mindset of a lot of the things that I was having to do in Canada, was just, find a way to get it done and muster up whatever, energy you have left.
So offensive line is a very uncomfortable position, right? Like, our stances are not comfortable. The way we have to play and move and the way we protect, and your workouts are uncomfortable. Like, that to me feels like a great way to prepare for the season. You have to find ways to be uncomfortable, but also comfortable enough to find workouts. I love the story. I think it's great. You go to, it's on your YouTube, right? Your YouTube has all the videos.
Yeah. My YouTube channel has the little workout video. Yeah.
Except you're a little bit ashamed of your power cleans, right? We talked about that.
Yeah. Skip there's over that some part. If I were to go back, I would probably take them out. But yeah, I think some of the. I mean, I couldn't really hang clean super well on an uneven surface. There was no flat surface on there. So, but it's for the fun of the video, I guess.
So you spend the off seasons, the summers, I say, training in Canada. You get back to campus. When did you think? I guess what year did you start thinking about possible NFL exposure?
The idea of possible NFL exposure really happened after the 2019 season. And, I was looking back through all of my tape and all of my games, and I was like, wow, I actually had a really solid year. And, when I was putting my highlight tape together and stuff, I was like, wow, like, I have a lot of, really good things that I did here. And, one of my coaches, Coach Owen Reese, he helped me a lot with exposure. He was constantly tweeting out videos of certain pancake balls that I was doing. And that really helped with getting my name out there, and got my name out there early. So yeah, it's been, about in February of 2020. So that was kind of when it started, and it was really, really cool to have that.
Well, we know things changed in March of 2020 with COVID, and you were not able to play your season. Did you think that dream of playing the NFL went away without playing in 2020?
It definitely was like, wow, this is going to be a lot more of an uphill battle than it already was. And, becoming from a smaller school, you already know that there's going to be that huge uphill battle. And so that's what made me nervous, because it was like, you have one opportunity here, and you can't mess it up. You got to make sure you play your cards right. And that's why I really, any any agent that reached out to me throughout the summer, I made sure I listened and see if they had any information that could help me. And that was kind of how I went through my process. I listened to anybody that was willing to talk to me and kind of came up with three options. It was either go back to Whitewater, transfer to another school, or declare and let's get it going. So yeah, at the end of the day, you know, we're here. I made the decision to declare, and I think it's really paid off.
There were 3 weeks in September that probably defined your decision to go pro. You went to Dallas to work out with Duke Mannyweather and Rashawn Slater at Northwestern, who's coming out in the draft as well. Those 3 weeks ended up being very important. It got you into the Senior Bowl eventually. Why did you decide to go down to Dallas and work out with Duke? And what were those 3 weeks like? And what did they mean to you to get in the Senior Bowl because of what you did there?
Yeah, so I originally wanted to go down to Dallas. I mean, I think Duke's work speaks for itself, and I really wanted to be able to get down there and, you know, improve a lot, because I know he, you know, he's working with the best of the best consistently. So I wanted to be able to, you know, get some information from him as well as he's working with Rashawn Slater. You know, he stayed out of the season.
Yeah.
And it would have been a great opportunity to, you know, see what a first rounder looks like and what a, you know, an NFL prospect looks like, and also train with one of the best offensive line coaches, you know, in the country. So, once school went fully virtual at Whitewater, I was talking to my agent. I was like, hey, all I got to do is have my computer with me. I got to get down there and work with them. And yeah, those 3 weeks were awesome. Duke kicked my butt. Definitely, every day was he kicked my butt, because those were days where I was breaking through a wall every day. And it was because it was a new environment. I didn't want to let anybody down. And, you know, the first day of working out, it was 10 sets of 5 pull-ups.
Man, way back in the day when I was still working with Duke, the first day of off-season program, so first day of, like, March, when you start kind of lifting again, you know, like, your season's over, let's say January 1st, take a month off. The next month is kind of like, you just kind of get back into things, do some elliptical, and you do like some other stuff, and you do some corporate workouts. And then the first day back, dude, was 10, 10, 10 for legs. So like 10 hamstring curls, like 10 hamstring curls, 10 RDLs, like 10 squats. You do 10 sets of 10. All like you just blow your legs out, or like 10 sets of 10 on bench with 135. It's absolutely brutal. What does that do mentally? Like, how are you able to push through that? Because it's hard to do. Your legs are shaking, your upper body's shaking, but that feeling when you get through it, you feel very accomplished.
Yeah, I mean, you're shaking and you're fighting every second when you're doing that, because, you know, you're essentially like spent. Like you're feeling your muscles and you're like, wow, I'm really done. But that's when the mental kicks in and it's trying to tell you that you're done, but really you're not. So that really, the mental toughness of doing that, because I asked him, I was like, what are we doing, Duke? I was like, what are we doing? He goes, we're doing German volume training. I was like, oh, that sounds awesome. The German volume training. And I'm like, does it get better? Like easier from here? He goes, no, next week you got 10 sets of 6 pull-ups.
So, yeah, I mean, the first day, the 10 sets of 10, like, oh, it's brutal. So fast forward to January. So Duke obviously has connections with everyone. Jim Nagy, the director of the Senior Bowl, hits him up about you, I believe, or maybe they were talking, but Duke's like, hey, look at Quinn. Here's a video of him working out with me and put him in the Senior Bowl. What was it like when you got that call? I'm sure you've wanted to play in the Senior Bowl. I'm sure you thought that was a good showcase for you. What was it like when you got that call from Jim Nagy saying, hey, man, you're in the Senior Bowl?
That was... Yeah, a day I'll never forget. So I was at Exos. I was doing the combine training that everyone does. So I was in Exos in Frisco, Texas. So I get done with my lift. You know, I'm sweaty and, you know, kind of beat down a little bit. And I look at my phone and check it. And my agent texts me. He goes, hey, call that Arizona number back. So no context. So I had these two missed calls from an Arizona number. I called it back. And it was, hey, Quinn, how you doing? I was like, oh, I'm doing good. Who am I talking to? And he goes, this is Jim Nagy. Are you ready to put your Warhawk helmet on for one last time? And yeah, I kind of lost it and really just broke down into tears, because it was something I worked so hard for so long on. Like, I set that goal to go to the Senior Bowl. And so there was a big gym next to the weight room, and I had to go to like the far corner because I just got done working out with all my buddies, you know, and I kind of had to keep that, you know, kind of being a, you know, the tough guy around. So I'd kind of go to the far corner of the gym and let it out. And it was an amazing call. And then to be able to call my dad and tell him that too was really special, because it was just, he was really proud of me. And yeah, awesome experience.
What's the process of now? Hey man, I haven't played in about a year. How do I get myself ready to play in the Senior Bowl against competition that I've never remotely faced yet?
You know, I guess the way I prepared, it was, you know, a lot of it, especially in those one-on-ones and stuff, it was replaying kind of in my head. So every time that Duke was saying something to me when I was working out with him, I tried to record it and like kind of in my head and just have like a distinct memory of it. So, you know, when I'm getting ready for those one-on-ones, I just really trusted what you know, Duke was teaching me. So, you know, like there, I have a piece of paper that I look at, you know, almost every single day. That's, you know, the five rules to pass pro. And yeah. I was really trying to stay strict to those rules, because that's what's going to help you win a lot of those blocks. But I mean, I was training so hard all the time, you know, and you know, I think the mentality that I take is train harder than last time. So, I mean, I was constantly putting myself through a lot of pain to make sure I was ready, because there were a lot of guys getting hurt because they didn't play a full year. They opted out of the season and stuff. And I think you have to really like impact train, like, and do a lot of things to like make sure your body's ready, because I mean, in the trenches, I mean, you're impacting every time. And I didn't really feel that sore.
That's great. So you show up to Mobile. No one knows who you are besides Jim Nagy. What are the looks in the locker room as you stroll in and take your place in the locker?
I think the looks were, it was no looks. Nobody was looking at me. Nobody knew who I was. I felt like I stuck out like a sore thumb a little bit, but like nobody really was paying attention to me. Nobody like really knew much or whatever. And I kind of took that and I was like, all right, well, I'll just kind of stay in my own little bubble here. And so I set up my locker and got ready for the first practice. But as soon as that helmet came on and I started practicing, I mean, those guys were right after that first practice in the locker room, I started getting a little bit more, you know, conversations and stuff.
So take me through that first practice again. It's hard to put into words the difference in like going from Division III to playing Division I level players. And look, not just like lower Division I, like these are the top seniors in all college football, and you missed an entire year. So it's not like you went from playing, like you were sort of playing and getting some work in. It's hard to quantify exactly how difficult that experience must have been for you. How did you feel the first day out there with the quote unquote big boys?
The first day out there, you know, I think I did a lot of, you know, good things. And I think also there were also a lot of kind of bad things that happened on that day. You know, I was learning a new position. It was an entire new playbook that I've never seen before, a whole new terminology that I've never seen before. And yeah, also going against competition I've never seen before. So I just, instead of trying to make the moment bigger than what it was, I just tried to kind of reflect internally and go for, you know, playing my style of football and be who I am, which was, you know, trying to be fast, physical, and disciplined. So that was, you know, things that have been, you know, instilled in me at Whitewater that I kind of took with me as I went to the Senior Bowl. But yeah, looking back at it, man, like I'm kind of in amazement of myself as well, because it really is, when you kind of talk about it, you're like, wow, that was really kind of a really big feat to be able to go out there and just do that.
Dude, I'm telling you, it is. It's pretty remarkable, because you played very well, obviously. It's why you're in the position you're in now. When you started to kind of play well and things were going the way you thought they would go, did you start to get this kind of confidence like, hey, man, I belong on this? I'm sure there was some doubt whether you belonged with these guys.
Yeah, that was definitely like the – I always describe it. It was definitely like a huge roller coaster of emotions on that bus ride to the stadium. It was like 20 minutes. That was probably like one of the worst 20 minutes, you know, bus ride ever. And yeah, I definitely built a lot of confidence, because, you know, I really didn't know what to expect. You know, that I think when you look at, you know, an offensive lineman and stuff, that first play of the game matters a lot. Like that first snap matters a lot. Yep. So that first snap of you know, playing at the Senior Bowl was really, you know, cool, because right off the bat, I started gaining that confidence. I was like, wow, like this, I'm hanging with these guys. Cause I was under the impression that like, I was going to be fighting for my life every play. Yeah. Pretty much. And then it turned around. I was like, all right, well, I'm actually as big and as strong and sometimes bigger and stronger than these guys.
Part of the I think the surprise was that you had to play center for the first time. You never played center before. And here you go. Hey, man, go play center now. How was that transition moving inside?
That was it was definitely difficult just because of how new it was. And I was trying to learn a lot of things on the spot. And, you know, in those one-on-ones, that's part of the reason why I was losing was just because I was so, I guess, a greenhorn at the position. So, you know, I think if I get a little bit more, you know, preparation, I think I would have had a lot better of a week, you know, just going against, you know, doing one-on-ones. Because, I mean, doing one-on-ones against the garbage can and stuff isn't really, isn't realistic at all. But it was awesome to have Creed Humphrey in the room and to be on the same team as him and just kind of watch how he does things. So it was a lot of learning.
So you go through the week, you're playing well, and then you break your hand. Walk me through the process of how that went down and how you tried to maybe hide it a little bit before you had to get some work on it.
So it was during the beginning of practice on that Thursday, the last practice. And we're doing, you know, just typical offensive line drills, you know, get offs and punching a bag and striking, going through kind of just basic inside zone steps. And my ring finger and my pinky finger get caught in the pad. And as I go up to them and drive it, they get caught. And I get off and I'm shaking my hand and, you know, cussing a little bit and just like, what just happened? Because that hurt a lot.
Yeah.
And then the trainers came by, they took me in the back and they x-rayed me. And they x-rayed, I guess, the wrong spot, or maybe it wasn't broken at the time, but all I know is that there was a lot of pain in my hand. They said there was nothing wrong with it. So I buddy taped it. And meanwhile, this is my snapping hand. So not only am I, you know, playing center for the first time, now I got to play center with a hurt hand, which is also a whole nother realm of, because now you can't hold the ball the way you normally would.
Of course.
And you can't wear, you know, I really like wearing gloves, but I can't snap with a glove. I'm not used to that yet. So yeah, I got to buddy tape my two ring finger and pinky finger together. And continue practice, and every single snap, my hand's getting worse, and it's getting worse, and it hurts more, and it hurts more. It starts getting to the point where I can't grab at all, so I just got to snap it and kind of make a fist and use it as a club and just kind of fight out there. Yeah, you just got to make a little club. And then after practice, I looked at my hand, and it was all red and really swollen, and I could kind of make I could make my bone move like a trampoline. Ugh. And I was like, all right, well, I'm not a doctor, but I'm pretty sure that's broken. And then I got the x-ray and I was like, oh wow, that's actually a pretty bad break there. And you know, I was like, well, can't I just like kind of put a cast on it and play some guard?
Because I mean,
in the NFL, as an offensive lineman, you're gonna play hurt more times than not. You're gonna play more times than not, just the nature of the job from my understanding. And you know, you got to be able to play with a broken hand. I mean, you're going to have to. Like, that's just the way it is.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on who's dressed. I mean, if you don't have enough guys dressed and you're the last guy up, you're playing with a broken hand.
Yeah, that's just the way it is. You got to, you have to. That's it. So I was trying to, negotiate with Coach Flores. You know, he kind of just came up to me during our walkthrough on Friday and he goes, you're not playing. And I was like, what? And he goes, yeah, I have a good feeling about it. You're not playing. And then he kind of walked away to continue the walkthrough. And I was sitting there going, I bet you there's something I can do here. So I talked to the athletic trainer and I was like, can't we just like put a cast on it? Like, I still have my, you know, my thumb and you know, my finger and middle finger I can still use. And I had my agent try to fight and help me a little bit too. And then Coach Flores comes out and I bring up all the ideas that I had. And he just kind of stared at me for like 20, 30 seconds, which kind of felt like an eternity, but he just like stared at me blank. And he just goes, no, and shakes his head. And I was like, can I get on like victory or something? And he goes, look, we can do victory. And I was like, I'll take it. That's a deal. So it was kind of a fun little moment there. But I really wanted to play because my mentality is if you practice all week, you're practicing to play in the game. But
I mean, of course you want that. Why practice if you can't play in the game? I'm with you. I'm with you there. So you had a good week. When did you realize the week went maybe better than you thought it would?
I would say it was after the second practice. You know, I think a lot of people, you know, the day one were like, wow, look, this guy's doing some things. And then it was kind of like, well, let's see what he can do day two, you know, because now everyone's kind of settled in a little bit, and we kind of know each other just a little bit off the first practice. And then once day two, once it kind of started, you know, I was doing the same thing, or maybe a couple, you know, there were a couple more pancakes or a couple more really good blocks. Then it was like everyone was really starting to turn the heads and really just kind of start, you know, liking the, you know, the underdog story that I was, you know, kind of bringing to the table.
Well, let's talk about your gut, because it became very popular on national television, NFL Network. Your nickname in high school was the gut as well. Luckily, your shirt is still on right now. Explain to me the origin of the big old gut hanging out of your jersey.
Yeah, the origin of the story goes back to my freshman year summer into sophomore year of high school. And so I was, as a freshman, I was 5'11", 180 pounds. And from freshman to sophomore year, I went from 5'11 to about 6'2", and then I gained 80 pounds of weight and went to 260. Okay. And went to 260. And so, I worked out every single day and, you know, ate a lot of food, drank a lot of protein shakes and blah, blah, blah. But, I mean, when you're gaining 80 pounds, only so much of it can be good weight. So I kind of had this big kind of just gut. I just had this big gut, and it's something that I had since. And yeah, a bunch of my friends gave me the nickname "the gut," and then I've had it ever since.
And you're retiring the gut when you get to the NFL? Is that what I heard? Right? The rumors are true or not? Or no, you're not sure.
I think it's got to probably be put away for a little bit, just because I don't want to be that rookie that comes in with a distraction. You know, I think when you get to that status of like Jason Kelce, where he kind of, you know, he's allowed to have it, but I don't want to be a distraction in the locker room or try to bring something unnecessary.
I will say. Practice, go ahead and do it. I think you're fine. Games, you're not allowed to. Like you just lose a lot of money. So like, I would say just do it, man. Just go out there. You'll be in a training camp somewhere. It'll be hot. Just pull your shirt up and get after it. There might be some guys who do it. Just do it for individual. I wouldn't say that you have to lose it because it's a distraction. I think guys would laugh. I think you should keep it a little bit. Just pick your spots.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. Okay. I'll take you up on that. But I wanted to make sure I wasn't going to be coming in there as a hothead and have the wrong impression of myself.
I don't think so. So this is a unique offseason for the NFL, right? There's no combine this year. Obviously, there was a Senior Bowl. The pro days are very scattered about, and they're at their team sites, and you know NFL teams cannot travel as many players, and so you mean scouts, I should say, front office guys. How has this experience been? Kind of navigating the pre-draft process just from the Senior Bowl ended until we talked today?
I think navigating through it has been, you know, I think pretty easy for me. I think it's, you know, there's been a lot of different things happening throughout this year where you just got to keep adapting and rolling with it. I think more now than ever, there's a lot more like time management with my days. Like, you know, right now I was kind of, you know, pro day is over with, Senior Bowl is over with, did all my interviews there. I was kind of thinking like, hey, I get to kind of, you know, regroup a little bit and then really focus on my strength training, getting ready for fall camp. But really, it's not that at all. It's all these Zoom meetings and all these, you know, WebEx meetings and stuff like that, that, you know, I learn a lot kind of being in the same room with somebody and talking through it. And, you know, you're looking at your little screen and they're trying to, you know, tell you a play and you're trying to learn all these new things. It's difficult for me. I don't learn virtually. I like going out there and doing it and being in the room, but you have to. It's just the way it is now, and you have to. So that's been the most difficult part of this process right now.
And unfortunately, I think the NFL, you know, might end up, going virtual this offseason, which I think, to your point, like a lot of us are visual learners. Like, we learn doing it a little bit, not just being in Zoom meetings. So hopefully they don't do that. I want to talk about your pro day, because the gods blessed you with a sunny day. You do not have an indoor facility. So if there was snow on the ground, you weren't having your pro day. When you woke up in the morning and the sun was out, how excited were you that you got to run outside?
That was like a huge like relief, like sigh of relief, because, you know, I was, you know, if it wasn't going to be nice outside, if it was going to be like 30 degrees snowing or anything just like gross outside, I was going to have to do everything inside. And doing a pro agility or an L drill on a rubberized indoor facility is not really ideal. And that's not where I've been practicing the drill for the last 2 months. So yeah, to be able to wake up and be like almost having a historic Wisconsin day in March was pretty special. I kind of credit that to the miners' luck that we have, because we do have some luck in there. I don't know why, but we really do. and it was a really cool experience and day.
Which teams have kind of challenged you the most in your one-on-one meeting so far?
I would say every single meeting that is kind of the same, where it's they install a play and they try to install it as quickly as possible, and you have to try to retain as much information. And then they go into questioning you about your, kind of like who you are, and then they rally back to the play that they installed and have you try to recite what they learned to you. And then on top of that, I've had a couple interviews, you know, I'm taking notes during it, and they go, all right, can I see your notebook? And then I show them the notebook and they go, all right, and I'll throw it behind you. So then you go like this and you just throw it behind you. So now you don't have any notes. They just installed the play very quickly on a PowerPoint. And, you know, Zoom connection isn't the greatest. So it's blurry. I can't see it. Sometimes I can't hear them. And so that's been pretty difficult to do that.
How tired of you are you talking about your personal life? Because every single time you have these interviews, they ask you the same three or four questions. Are you tired of talking about your best games, your worst games, how much you love football, your height, your weight, where you grew up, your siblings? Is that getting tiresome yet?
Oh yeah, definitely a little bit. I think the big thing for me is I think I've had kind of therapy myself with my parents' divorce, where I've had to talk about it this, you know, the past couple months. I mean, 50, 60 times I have to tell the story, and it's almost kind of giving myself therapy because I got to keep kind of re-talking about it.
Teams ask you about that?
Well, they ask about family life, and I tell them my parents are divorced, and then they kind of like want a little bit more of a deep dive into what happened there.
Wow. I mean, I didn't think they would go that far, but
okay. Well, and they also know it as like every team wants to know like a piece of adversity, and like that's the biggest piece of adversity that's ever happened in my life. So that is another reason why they want to know.
Oh, that makes sense. Okay. That makes more sense than just like, hey, tell me why your parents are divorced. The adversity part is definitely, they ask you like, what have you learned about yourself during this process?
I think I've learned that I can learn an NFL playbook, and I think I can learn it, you know, really well. You know, I'm taking really good notes, and, you know, every team that is installing a play, like I'm kind of revisiting those notes and trying to learn, you know, what they're trying to teach me. Cause I know that, you know, some of that information can carry over to other teams, and some of the verbiage can be similar. So I think I'm learning about myself is that I can really learn an NFL playbook, and, you know, I'm really trying to learn it from the center position. Cause I think that's where a lot of teams have started to see me.
Were you concerned about that? Like picking up a more complex scheme?
Yeah, that's definitely something that it has me, you know, a little bit. I think that's just kind of the next piece here. That really matters a lot is now learning a playbook. And I understand that, like, you know, I thought the Senior Bowl was a lot to learn, and now it's like, all right, well, here's a 200-page book and you need to know all of it by fall camp.
I mean, it's, you know, and this is the thing about the new off season. Like, it used to be where you'd come in, you'd have a mini camp, you'd have, you know, plenty of opportunities to learn the playbook in person. Now you might have to learn it virtually, which is much tougher. And then you get to training camp and it's like, okay, well, go practice. Hope you've learned it. And it might be a little bit of an issue. So I'm interested to see how players navigate it. So what are you going to do the final couple of weeks before the draft? You're going to relax, you're back home, get a little nervous. How you feeling?
So I'm back home, kind of, it's, you know, after being in Texas for a really long time, it definitely really nice to be back home, see the family, be back, you know, with my girlfriend again. And yeah, I'm just going to keep working out and keep preparing for the fall. Cause I have another, you know, I accomplished a lot of big goals that I set out this last year, and now I'm kind of setting some new ones, and that kind of keeps refueling the fire. Leading up to the draft. I mean, honestly, it's, the days are coming by really quickly now. Am I nervous? No, I think I'm really excited because, you know, you can't control what happens on draft day. Honestly, it's just like a blessing to be here. And I'm really excited to, you know, have that moment where I see my name pull up on the screen. Hopefully Roger Goodell calls my name. I get to have the phone call and be with my family and just kind of have a really cool, special moment.
Are there teams that you're looking to go to? Like, is there a couple you think you'd fit best in?
Fit best? I don't know. I think to give a little bit of an answer, I have had quite a few meetings with the Philadelphia Eagles. They kind of stood out to me as a team that has been, I guess, more interested than other teams just because I've had more meetings with them, talked with them a lot more. And I think that would be a, I think I really like, I like the way their fans are. I think they keep, you know, they're kind of a tough, they're a really tough fan base and they keep their players kind of in check. Like, hey, yeah, we don't put up with that. I mean, they have a legendary center. I would really love to just, you know, learn and, you know, take all that information from a veteran like Kelsey.
Well, you'd fit great in Philly. I will say though, and this is something that you might find out, is the team that never talks to you or the team that drafts you. So many stories, seriously, there's so many stories of guys who say, yeah, the Eagles were most interesting. I thought I was going to Philly, but Denver drafted me and Denver didn't talk to me once. You know, I mean, of course, during a combine process, you will have talked to Denver, like, but not like mm-hmm. in this instance where they talk to you three or four times. So just it's just fun. Like when draft day shows up and the team, Arizona Cardinals, you never talk to, are like, hey, you're drafted by us. Don't be surprised. It's very random like that.
Yeah, I've heard that, and that's kind of the questions that I've been asking a lot of the, you know, as I've seen, you know, NFL players, I've been asking them about, like, how it went for them, and they're just like, yeah, man, just, like, be relaxed, and after it, you might want to get a new phone number, too, was one of the comments really? That I got. Yeah, I was told to get a new phone number because if I still have, like, the same phone number from high school or whatever, that it might be smart to get another phone number or something.
I've had my number since I was 16, and I just ignore people I don't know. Like, you don't have to answer the phone. Like,
it was a little piece of advice.
On draft day, answer my phone. But, like, don't get a new number. That's silly. Don't give me that advice. They have too much going on in their life. You seem like a guy like me. Like, one phone's enough. I can't do two phones. I can't do multiple things at once. One phone is enough. All right, man. Quinn, I really appreciate this. Dude, you know how much I love you. And this is going to be a great process for you. And you've worked your ass off. And I'm looking forward to watching you play in the NFL. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thank you for having me, and I'm excited to, you know, keep talking football and hopefully see you in online masterminds.
Oh yeah, I'll be there. I will got my shirt on, everything. I will be there this summer in July. All right, buddy. Thank you so much. All right, that was Quinn Meinerz, Wisconsin Whitewater. I love that kid, man. I've only known him for like 3 weeks. He's great, and he just loves football. He FaceTimed Ryan Jensen, the Buck center we had on a couple weeks ago, and like, man, he's just. He's so humble to be in this situation. Like he just, I love it. He's great. I wish him all the best. Thank you guys for tuning in. Our listens are going up, our reviews, subscriptions, all that. Please rate, review, subscribe. Let me know how you felt about the interview with Quinn. I appreciate all the love and support, and we'll be back next week. Have a great weekend, everyone.